prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is for October 2023. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. And as the song says, again, our theme song, This is War. We're going to talk to a man who's been through war, been through hell, so to speak, for his faith in Christ in the last about 3 years. We're going to talk to Pastor Arthur Pulaski and update on what's happened with him in Canada. And folks, praise God, he's come out on top, and now he's going after them. He's off the defense and back on offense. But anyway, before we do that, tomorrow's Thursday, and everything goes right, we'll be in office tomorrow. Even Chris will be here tomorrow. Orders that were held last week will go out tomorrow, okay? If you want to receive our free calendar, all you have to do is call and say, I want your calendar. And I mean that. Or if you send an order in for anything over, say, whatever it is, amount is, I put a note in there, I want a calendar. We want you to have one. We got them here for you to have and use. And they're really pretty calendars. So you can call us tomorrow at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Don't forget our offer for this month is Christmas Christian, the Christian and Civil Government, Warning 1965. What a powerful little booklet. And a 30-page Truth about Lincoln and the so-called Civil War. All those, all the books, everything together, $25. That includes shipping. That leaves us barely making about $5. But folks, I want you to have these things. They're laying here in our office. I want you to have them for your own good. I want you to share them with your friends and family. If you like the research to the truth, if you want the truth, all four of these items will help you understand things. Now, we only have a few of the Christian Civil Government books, but if we're in all that, we have another one by the same author, Pastor John Weaver, that will help you understand all things that we're obliged to do in Christ with civil authority and a lot of things we cannot do under civil authority in the name of Jesus. So we'll be in office tomorrow. Take your phone call, like I said, and I hope you call tomorrow and talk to us. Order these this packet of information for yourself. And as I said, tomorrow, orders that are behind will go out. Hopefully, get everything everybody caught up tomorrow. So anyway, without any further ado, our guest tonight has been on this program now several times over the last 2.5, 3 years. I'm guessing on how long it's been. And he has been through things, folks, that I've never faced. Matter of fact, very few people in this country have faced this. I know we have a lot of people that are standing for the rights of the unborn babies that are in prison for their stand, and I know that to be true. But so far, by the grace of God, I've never been arrested. I've been called before the FBI about 3 times, a grand jury once, but nothing ever came out of that. Well, this gentleman tonight has been arrested, put in jail, in solitary confinement, mistreated, stripped naked, searched, thrown in cold cells, no blankets, no bed, no nothing, because he took a stand for Christ and tried to help people in his country stand for their freedoms. His name is Pastor Otto Pulaski. Now, for new listeners out there, I'm going to let him just very quickly go by a two-minute synopsis of where he come from, what he's done. Then we'll get into what's happening today. And Pastor Arthur, are you there?
Yes, thank you so much for having me on your show again. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share our story for the glory of God. And in the end of the day, we always have to remember that no matter what the enemy throws at us, it's all for the glory of God. Today, I talked to a friend of mine, Phil from Montana. He is the one that created the Ten Commandments Park in Montana. And he has been attacked. The park was vandalized. All kinds of different things happened to him. And he called me today and he said, look how privileged you are. Out of 8 billion people plus, God has chosen you to face trials and persecutions and persecution for his glory. And you know what? He is right. It is a great privilege that God has chosen us to taste a little bit of what happened Amen. To Jesus Christ. So,
Amen. Well, the Bible tells us, Pastor, that it's an honor to be punished for him. It's a glory. And I know it's when you're going through it, it doesn't feel like it. But the Bible says that it is an honor, so to speak. So, and we know Romans 8:28 says it all works to our good. But now you go ahead.
Yeah. So I grew up behind the Iron Curtain, as you can tell, under the boots of the Soviets. So I have seen Marxism, communism, socialism firsthand. And I grew up in a country of Poland, which, of course, was under the boots of the Nazis before. I grew up in a little town that had a concentration camp. As kids played in the bunkers of the SS. So I've seen this before, and when we escaped communism and came first to Greece, and we spent years in Greece, and then finally Canada opened its borders for us, I remember when an officer in a Canadian embassy in Athens said to us, come to Canada. Canada is the freest country on earth, and in Canada no one will ever persecute you for your faith. Well, here we are today, 340 citations, 16 arrests, many times I was detained, and 120 court cases. So we went through hell back and forth. I was imprisoned. I was on concrete. I was in metal cages. I was even taken to a psych ward without evaluation of the doctors and even knowledge of Alberta Health Services. Completely illegal, attacked, handcuffed, thrown in paddy wagons, arrested, rearrested, let go, bails, courts, you name it. Sometimes I spend more time in court than in a church as a pastor. So sometimes I was even confused. Am I a lawyer or a pastor? You know? But here is the story of Arthur Pulaski and my family.
Pastor, I want to ask you a quick question, please. Before all this come together in the last 3 years, did you see any signs of trouble brewing in Canada?
Oh, of course. I have been warning Canadians for the past 18 years. You see, municipalities have declared that giving free goods and services is illegal, taking care of the homeless illegal, reading Bible illegal, this illegal, that illegal. And I remember in 2005, that's how early I started to become the whistleblower, telling people, hey, there is something definitely wrong in this country. They're trampling on our rights. They are putting more bylaws, more restrictions. The overreach is unbelievable. Wake up, because I've seen this before. But at that time, we have to understand, at that time, people had plenty. They had their homes, their vacations, their cars. You know, job was good. Money was flowing, right? So when you are, when you're living your dream, if you will, if you have everything that your heart desires, you don't really pay attention to what, you know, the government is doing. Actually, quite opposite. You just don't want to be even bothered. And I think that was the biggest problem. And let me say something to the Christians. The biggest failure that we as Christians have done is to believe a lie that a good man, a good Christian person, should not get involved in politics. Because Amen. Look at us now. We must be involved everywhere in all the seven mountains of influence. We were called to be the light in the darkness. And I'm telling you, there is a great darkness in our political sphere. There is a great darkness in the education system. There is great darkness in the justice system, in the healthcare system. Wherever you look, there is a great darkness. And if good people will not bring the light into that darkness, we cannot really complain that the darkness took over. If the salt loses its saltiness, why do we use salt? Well, to spice up whatever we are eating. Without the salt, without the spices, we become yucky, lukewarm, good for nothing.
Not only that, brother, Arthur, salt is used as a preservative. Well, I mean, I remember salt and meat as a young boy. It's used as a preservative. Yeah. Without that, the meat would rot. But, you know, we bought this lie in America, and I had over the last several years, as long as I've been alive, that Christians shouldn't get involved in politics. We bought that lie. Well, Christ said, don't get involved with the world. That's not getting involved with the world. That's furthering his kingdom in all parts of society. I mean, political society is still society. Our job is to take the gospel of Christ into politics, is it not?
Of course. I will say more. If you read the Bible, and that I believe that's the problem, that the people, the Christians, don't read the Bible. My God, the pastors do not read the Bible.
That's true.
So I think they just do not know what's there. From the very beginning to the very end, the Bible is highly political. I mean, tell that to Daniel, that he should not get involved in politics. Tell that to Joseph, that becomes prime minister. Or how about tell that to Esther, while she was a queen? Or tell that to her uncle, Mordecai, he was the prime minister. Tell that to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Tell that to Joshua and Caleb and Deborah. Tell that, right? The whole Bible, David was the king. Bible is very highly political because what do we preach? We preach the kingdom.
A kingdom has to have laws. A kingdom has to have laws.
That's right. Our God is God of order. Our God is not God of chaos. That's Satan. Our God is God of order and hierarchy and structure. And we must influence the society in those spheres by, you know, being the light in the darkness. And because the lie was bought, the enemy is a very clever tactician. He sold us a lie that we should just have kumbaya here within the four walls, and we've lost the nations. And now, if we want back your nation, you have to fight for your nations. I'm telling you, I said that for the past 20 years, whatever you tolerate, if you tolerate this kind of a sin or that kind of a sin, sooner or later, whatever you tolerate will rule over you. Look at us today. We're being ruled by perverts.
John Wesley said, "One. This is a paraphrase, that which you tolerate today will embrace tomorrow." Well, obviously that's true. Very true.
Yeah. We not only tolerate a sin, we not only embrace the sin, now the sin is dictating what is allowed or not. I find it fascinating. I talked to my wife for the past few weeks, and she keeps coming back with this revelation. Look what happened. First, they said that at first they attacked the Ten Commandments, and they said, the Ten Commandments are irrelevant, not needed, not wanted, not appreciated. But now they outlawed Ten Commandments. Is that not interesting? Now we moved into an era where the enemy outlawed Ten Commandments. In my country, you're not allowed to oppose murder. Because if you go outside of a bubble zone, outside of the Holocaust for babies, you will be arrested, thrown in prison. And there are many people that have been thrown in prison for that. Now they're moving into laws that you're not allowed to oppose transgenderism, grooming of the children, and pedophilia. My son, as you know, and I have a good news, Butch, here. My son was charged with and arrested three times now, was charged with illegally attending a rally, and because he read the Bible during the rally, he was charged with harassment. Yesterday, the Crown Prosecutor dropped the charges. So now we're going after them. And I hired a set of lawyers that are putting together all the evidence, going after the government, going after the villains, everyone that tried to hurt me and my family. Now we're going after them. It's time for the Christians to to become aggressive. And I'm not talking about violence, far from it. I'm talking about justice. Justice demands retribution. You must go after the villains. You see, David didn't just, end up with a debate with Goliath. He had to run towards the enemy, and he had to engage the enemy on the enemy's own turf. And he did it. And because he did it, others saw that it's possible. If David could do it, that means we can do it. And, of course, the whole army moved, and they chased the uncircumcised, demon-possessed, wicked people all the way. So it's time for the church to go on offense.
Amen.
Enough of just defending ourselves. Now we got to go, start going after the villains.
Well, you know, you can't win a ball game on defense. You got to get the ball,
yes,
and run with it. You know, and Christians have been too complacent for so long. And I lay the blame squarely, brother. I lay the blame in Canada and America right at the church's doorsteps. They've tolerated, compromised, and backed down so many times that they don't even know what to stand for any longer. They're scared of their own shadow. They run from a virus. I mean, these people are so, and I'm talking about the Christians now, are so compromised in their faith and their courage and knowledge of Christ that they've sold out their children's future for convenience.
Yes, because here's the famous saying, if you fear God, you don't have anything else to fear, right? You will fear nothing. If you fear men, right? If you start fearing men, then you will be fearing everything because men are highly corrupted. So the fight continues. It's quite interesting right now what is happening. I watch closely what they're doing to your rightful president, Donald Trump. It's quite intriguing. It's quite interesting that they're throwing everything possible to stop this man from running. Why? Because they're terrified. And I received a word a couple of days ago, which is a very interesting one. Here's what it says. It says, they are fearing you. So instead of stopping, kind of up your game, go after them, be more vocal, be more aggressive in deliverance, and go after the villains. This is our time, brother. I believe this is the era that we have entered after suffering for so long, that God is giving us authority. And it's very interesting because when I went to the court, on the way out, when I came out, and I can talk if you want about what happened in the court, but when I came out, I received a staff. A man gave me a staff, and I asked him after, I said, why did you do it? And he says, well, because God told me that he is giving you authority. The staff represents the authority, like God gave a staff to Moses. So here's what happened. Everything we do, we always do it from the biblical point of view. So we ask the people to come Sunday. Sunday was the 17th. My sentencing was on the 18th. And again, for those people that don't know, I was charged with inciting breach of probation and ecoterrorism for my sermon to the truck convoy. So I gave a sermon, a peaceful sermon, where three times I told Canadian truckers and farmers to stay peacefully, no guns, no swords, to stand for God and state-given rights, to do it for the children, to do it solidarity style, etc. For that sermon, I was arrested by RCMP, that's like your FBI. I was arrested by Calgary Police Uniform, undercover detective, SWAT team, undercover with a special team, with their cameras, and they blocked the entire street. It was like a takedown of El Chapo, of Calgary, Al Capone, of Canada. So I was taken to prison, stripped naked, interrogated for hours, and I spent 50 days in prison, 45 days in solitary, on metal, in metal cages, in concrete cells, and it was a gong show. Then I was moved to a max pod for the most dangerous terrorists in the country, and then eventually I was moved to a psych ward, again, illegally, done by the Canadian government, Soviet style. So I was released, as you remember, from prison on bail, and I was placed on house arrest. I was the first Canadian pastor to be arrested for a sermon, placed on house arrest, and I spent on house arrest a year and a half. Eventually, I faced the judge. I was accused by the Crown Prosecutor of causing Canadian economy over $400 million worth of damages for my sermon, 19-minute sermon. He accused, he compared my sermon. And by the way, during my trial, there were no witnesses. My sermon, that's it. The sermon was on trial. That's all. Word by word, they were digesting what I meant when I said certain words. Eventually, the Crown Prosecutor compared my sermon to Rwanda genocide. He said that my sermon was like a man that was inciting murder on other men. And guess what? Gordon Krinke, a corrupted Alberta's judge, agreed with him and found me guilty. I was found guilty as the first Canadian in the history of this country on charges of inciting and also eco-terrorism, interfering with the crucial infrastructure under the Defense Act. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I want to ask you a question, but don't lose that thought. I want to get back to that thought. I know that not many other pastors or churches stood with you when it started. I mean, they very few, if any, stood with you at all. They kind of bowed down to the king and followed orders. Have any of them come out now since you're on the other side of the fence and winning? Are they coming out now to say, hey, we support you? Or has anything changed on that front?
No, not much. I mean, wherever I go, even a grocery, on the streets, people stop me, thank me. But if it comes to the clergymen, not really, no. They are either embarrassed by their cowardice and selling Jesus for a silver coin and throwing their own parishioners to the wolves. So they're really staying away from me. However, the people, I'm telling you, the people, everywhere I go, I'm being recognized and people come to me and they just simply thank me for giving them hope. Thanking me that there is a man that is standing up for them, for all of them and their children. And that's absolutely beautiful. Everywhere I go, this is what is happening. So going back to the story, the judge, Gordon Krinke, with the Crown Prosecutor, Stephen Johnston, the corrupted Crown from a special unit, they found me guilty. And the sentencing was supposed to happen in August, but it was pushed to September because there was a big convoy from all over was coming to the proceedings. So they moved everything to September. And believe it or not, it happened during the holiest time of the year. And on the 17th of September, we did a Jericho walk. We marched around a courthouse, blowing shofars, and there was worship. Monday morning on the 18th of September, we did a church service on the steps of the courthouse in Lethbridge. We were singing hymns, praying, and I delivered a speech. And the speech was very similar to the very one that I was in prison for and being charged with. I told the people the same thing. Stand for God and stand, give a rise. Don't quit. Don't give up. You know what was the biggest thing that enraged the government? It was that they call it I was unrepentant. What bothered them the most was that Arthur Pawlowski was not sorry for what he did. That he, because I said many times during different speeches, including the one on Monday on the 18th, I said if I was to do it again, I would gladly do it because I did it for the hurting Canadians and I don't regret standing with the hurting Canadians, and I'm proud that I was part of the truck convoy, which was the biggest civil rights movement in the history of Canada. And that enraged them. The judge was talking about it. The Crown was talking about it. The Crown sent a letter to my lawyer saying that he demands a minimum of a year of imprisonment. During the trial, during the sentencing, he went from 1 year to a minimum 8 months to 12 months, 8 to 10 months, sorry. So anyway, they were going back and forth. There was hundreds of people that came to the proceedings. People were worshiping outside, praying. The house, the courthouse was completely packed. They had to bring extra sheriffs. I don't know why, but there was so much police officers. And eventually, here is what the judge did, and I'm telling you, I am a little bit of an expert, right? 120 court cases, 340 citations, so many arrests. I've never heard a judge until now saying this. I am reserving my decision until I go and discuss this with others. And he left. Actually, she said that he's going somewhere to discuss this case with others. So I don't know who those others were. I don't know if they were politicians or not, because you got to remember, I received those phone calls from the fixers. First, they tried to bribe me, $2 million, a guaranteed seat at the legislature, a government, good paid job. They've tried everything. Then there was blackmail, there was coercion. And then the last conversation was, the judge is bought and paid for. If you don't stop talking, then you're going to go to prison. The judge was ordered to lock you up. So I went into that court. I said goodbye to my family, hugged my wife, and then gave kisses to my daughter, and that's it. I said, well, I don't know if I'm coming out. Because you got to remember, there were five different inmates that already testified that the guards were giving them incentives to murder me in prison. And they put my house on fire. They put the church on fire. They vandalized our church for 3 months. They unscrewed tires of our pickup truck. So they tried everything in their power to damage us, to hurt us. I was physically attacked. And so when I walked in, I didn't know if I will be ever coming out. I didn't know what they're going to do to me. And another interesting part of the story is that if I was sentenced back to go to back to prison, I was to go to the very place that put me in metal cages and wanted those five different inmates to murder me over there. So imagine that, going to the very corrupted place that I was exposing for the past a year and a half. So the judge finally comes back, and he says that he is giving me twice as many days of imprisonment than any other case in a history of mischief. I was not even charged with mischief. I was charged with inciting mischief, which ultimately made me the first Canadian in history to be found guilty on inciting mischief and the first ever charged and convicted of this eco-terrorism for my sermon. So he says that he has 12 years at his disposal to lock me up, but he has decided to sentence me to 61 days in prison, which ultimately made it twice as many days than a person that broke actual law five times in a period of a year and a half. So I have become the first clergy, the first pastor in the history of this country that has been sentenced to prison for words, for a sermon. But because I already spent time, I was already in a remand center 50 days.
Hang on through the break. Don't lose that thought. Okay, folks, back at the break. Your phone calls. If you want to talk to a hero, you can next half hour. 844-769-2944. How many of us have stood through this? Good question. Ask yourselves. Hang in. Right back.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers, made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we're back. Phone lines are open. 844-769-2944. And I'm going to ask Brother in a little bit to give out a way that you can donate to his battle. It's still going on. He's now on the offensive. Praise God. He's hired a law team to take it back to the courts, to the crown, and embarrass them to the fact they want to back up and pay for their stupidity, their arrogance, and their tyranny. That's all you can call it, folks. We are given by a sovereign God laws and commandments and statutes that we have to obey. We cannot deny his laws, even though man's laws tells we have to. We cannot do that because of a believer. I know millions go to church every day that do that. Look what happened during that so-called COVID pandemic. The churches in America failed that test miserably. They ran and hid because, well, you may catch a virus. In the name of all that's holy, folks, what is wrong with the backbone in the churches today? I don't understand it. And this brother stood up in his church and literally ran them out of the church. I mean, literally run him out of the church. I almost took a whip to him, so to speak. And he's paid a lot for that in the battle now. But he came out on the other side victorious. And he can walk away now and say, well, I won. I'm not going to jail. But he's not going to let go of that. He's going to make sure that happens to somebody else. Maybe his sons, his daughters, somebody else in the Canada, his grandchildren. I admire his courage and tenacity. He's like a bulldog. Once he gets a hold, he doesn't turn loose. Now, brother, you go and finish your thoughts.
Yeah, so the judge sentenced me to 61 days of imprisonment, so even double than any other case in history, and for actual crime, for mischief, not for inciting, for words. But I walked out of the court because I already served the time. When you're sentenced, when you're in a pre-custody before the trial in remand, it counts as a day and a half. And because I spent 50 days over there, it counted as time served. So I actually, against the wishes of the crazy people, the left, against all the people that actually know politics and contacted me in the political realm, they said, there is no way I'm coming out of that court a free man, and I did. And that reminds me of the Julie Green prophecy when she said that you will never go prisoner again, that that ordeal is done. And she was true. The prophecy was fulfilled.
Wow, I didn't know about that. When did this happen?
She actually prophesied about this when I was still in prison a year ago. So I'm locked in a cell, and then sometimes they would keep me 26 hours nonstop in a little cage. When they let me out, I would shower and phone my wife, and that's where she played that prophecy from Julie Green to me, saying that I will be vindicated, I will be let go, and I will never be prisoner again. So it's quite a fascinating story. I walked out, and I'm telling you, everyone was crying because I said goodbyes. Everyone in mainstream media, the left, politicians, everyone expected that I will not come out, that I will be locked back in prison. But I did walk out, and I gave another speech. It was a national story and then international as well. I have effectively, like we were talking on the break, we did make a history because I have become the first Canadian ever to be charged and convicted because of a sermon, because of words. So we're appealing this decision. We actually sent the appeal document to the Supreme Court in Alberta last week. So the fight continues. And also now, as you mentioned, I'm going on an offense. I hired a new set of lawyers, and we are gathering evidence, and we're going after the villains. So we must do that because, just like you said, if they can get away with this, if they can get away without consequences doing this to one, I'm telling you, they're going to do this to somebody else. And we must do everything in our power to prevent that from happening. During November, in my country and in your country, we have a Remembrance Day. Do you remember what the mainstream media, even the propaganda media, say? Lest we forget, right? I think we have forgotten. We have forgotten what happened during the First World War, what happened during the Second World War. And we, it looks like we are repeating the same mistakes. And we must change. We must learn from history. We must do better. And we have to go after the villains. Because if they can get away with literally with this murder now, they will try to do this again. And maybe different names, different faces, but the same playbook will be thrown at us unless we chase them. I think Americans did it the right way in 1776. You chase them all across the ocean. And I think it's time for all of us to chase those villains of today across the ocean once again.
Very well put. I can't believe the phone lines are quiet, but they are. 844-769-2944. So you have been through so much, and no churches really stood with you. No, did any of the churches offer to give you money? Did anybody do anything in a so-called Christian movement to help you?
Well, I have few friends, right? So we have.
I'm talking about churches. I'm talking about churches, Baptist churches, Methodist churches. Any churches come out and say, "Hey, our organization, our fellowship's going to help you"?
Not much. We have few, friends in here, churches, pastors that we work with each other, and those are the pastors that were hammered by the authorities as well. For example, today is a great victory. My friends from Edmonton, which is 300 kilometers from Calgary, just won their appeal. The government penalized them $80,000 because they refused to let the Nazis into their church. And, of course, they were threatened with arrest, penalized, forced to pay $80,000. And today they won their appeal. So those people that went through the ringer are standing with us, but it's not many. I mean, there's not many of us out there. If it comes to the Christians, there's a lot of Christians that are being awakened. More and more, actually. The more the government is cracking on us, the more and more people are waking up, which is a beautiful thing to see. We started to do town halls around, meeting with the people, and the vibe is beautiful. I think more and more people realize that those so-called representatives of the people, the so-called servants, are actually betrayed them and should be charged with treason. So they're coming our way. And it's like my son Nathaniel says, the more they're going to push, I think the more and more people are going to rise up and push back.
Amen. I pray that's true. I really do. Now, they offered you a seat in Parliament, and I got two questions on that. How could they guarantee you a seat? You all have elected bodies there also, but how could they guarantee you a seat without maybe rigging the vote? How would they do that?
Because they can place you, your name, on a ballot in an area that is historically always voted for that party. And we have those seats that, you know, forever, those people are just voting conservative or they're voting liberals or they're voting NDPs. It's just like you, in your country, there are certain areas that you pretty much know that historically those people are Republican and historically, you know, those people are Democrats. So they can actually know by polling and different other ways that you will win if you take a knee and bow. I was also offered money, a lot of money, and then I was offered a government position, $250,000 a year, to become a chair of a government position. And so they've done everything they could to bribe me. But you know, brother, I'm not for sale because I have been already bought, right?
That's
we
right.
have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. How can we sell Jesus for perks, for silver coin? We're not Judas Iscariot. I mean, you can put $1 billion on the table. It's just numbers. It's just money. And in the end of the day, it means absolutely nothing. When you're dead, you're dead. You can't take it with you, and you face the living God. And eternity is not a week, not a month, not a year. Eternity is forever. And I intend to spend that with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what? I want to add something to this. The pavement in the kingdom of God. Look at how crazy this is. Here, on this side of eternity, we're willing to kill for gold. In the kingdom of God, pavement is gold.
Yeah, the street of gold. That's right. That's very true.
Is that not crazy? So over there, the value is completely different. I'm not willing to sell eternity with Jesus for a stone. Yeah, it's nice. It's shining, but it's just a stone.
Well, let me ask you a question, then we'll take a couple phone calls. Are you going to run for office yourself now, maybe?
Yes, I will. I'll tell you why. Because I've realized for the first time, I think, in my life, that just being a person that supports others is not good enough. People are leaderless. We actually lost leaders. We don't have leaders in our country. And we must raise leaders. And the only way I know how to do that is by example. So if I'm telling you to run, I have to run myself. If I'm telling you to be the light in the darkness, I have to show you how it's done. So I've decided to create a political party. It's called Solidarity Movement of Alberta.ca, Solidarity Movement of Alberta. And I'm going to raise leaders that will run in the next election. And it will be up to the people and up to God what he's going to do with that. But yes, I've decided with my family that now I'm going to run for office because there's not many people that are not willing to take the bribe these days. Most of them are more than happy to betray the people. So I said to God, fine, if that's the case, if you want me to be the light in this darkness, here I am, Lord, use me.
Amen. And when you were offered these bribes, was it by officials with authority to do that? Or how did they approach you with that?
They always have the Armenians coming. So I had people coming to my house multiple times. I had people coming with information, offers. I was contacted by the premier herself. Premier is like your governor of a state. So she called me herself, offering all kinds of different things. So it depends. Sometimes they do it themselves. Most of the time, they use people that they call fixers. And the political fixers will contact you with offers or with threats. You got to remember, my story is quite interesting. It's like a Hollywood production because they offered me bribery for 8 months. And when I was not biting, they started coercion and blackmail. So I've tasted everything. I've tasted death threats. I've tasted fires. I've tasted physical attacks, death threats in prison, imprisonment, charges. You got to remember, I was charged in the past 3 years over 40 times. They went after boy. They went after my brother. My brother was arrested with me multiple times. My son was arrested 3 times. So they're coming after the family, and if that doesn't work, they will come with blackmail and coercion, and that was the end game. But we stood strong because, you know, we believe in the Bible. We believe that our God is bigger than their God, that greater Amen. Is he that is in us than the one that is in them. So if God has called us for such a time as this, that means he called us for such a time as this, and we just got to do our part. And I'm telling you, God will do his part every single
always,
time.
Always, always. I ask one more question. I've got to get the phone call. Running out of time. So when they brought these bribes to you, did they tell you why they were doing it, or they just kind of do it and without saying a whole lot? Maybe were they worried about what was going, outcome this going to be, or why do you think they did it? What was their reason?
Oh, they always tell you why. That's the whole point. I was told that I will get the money or I'll get the position, but there is only one thing that they have to do is exposing corruption, stop talking, stop embarrassing Canada, stop, doing every single time. And I mean, every single time, either they came with a bribery or coercion or a blackmail, was always about the same thing. Keep your mouth shut. We don't want you to talk. And and it's a fascinating thing because the last past 3-4 months with the fixers, political fixers, they said, why can't you just be a pastor? Stop politics. Don't get involved in politics. Just be a pastor. Come on. That's what you want to do, right? And it's so funny because they ask me this. Well, you just want to be a pastor, right? You hate politics. And that's true. I do hate politics. But I love people, and I see no other way except being engaged in the political realm because those people are not doing. No one, Amen. It seems no one else is doing it, so someone has to. And you know, Butch, it's always like this. When God puts something on your heart that there is a problem, most likely you are the one that has to fix it.
You know, that's true. And I almost wish I hadn't said that, but it's true. It is. Let's take a phone call from Kentucky. Let's talk to Chris. Chris, welcome. Come on in.
Butch, thanks so much for having this brother on. What's happening to him is happening here because they're going to weaponize our churches with the FBI. Where these pastors better really seriously take a stand because you're going to lose your church and you're not going to be allowed to do anything anymore. Because that's look out throughout history with all the dictatorships. Look what happened in China for many, many years when the Chinese were persecuted reading the Bible. It's coming here, Budge. It's very close. And if we don't turn and get on our knees and repent, it's over for this country.
It is. It is. And if the church doesn't repent and get active, it is over for sure. I agree.
It really is.
Yes.
And I just want to also compliment you. The other night, you had Deborah Tavares on. If you have not heard that archive, go back and listen to that and put it in your file. It's very important. What this weaponization is going to do to you, Jenny. And that's biblical, what she talked about, too. It's very serious what's coming down in this world. And I also want to head a neighbor down the street. I want to get to know him. He had his flag blown in distress because he knows that this nation's in trouble. And I want to have a talk with him because that's what we need to do. We all need to put our flags upside down because this nation is in distress because our Christianity is the number one target they're going after right now, and they're going to weaponize us. There's a new Police State film coming out from the producer of 2,000 Mules called Police State, the film, .net, I think it is. But it's coming out at the end of October. I heard little bits about it, and this is what's coming. And it's, I saw the trailer to it. That's just what the FBI does. Go into homes. You're praying. You can't pray anymore. This is what's coming. This is real. I don't know what the ratings will be on that film, but I can't pronounce the Dinesh D'Souza, I guess his name is, produced that film. It's very crucial that we, the pastors in this church, take a stand now, or it's
send
over
me,
for this
send
country.
Me that trailer, please, if you don't mind. Send me that trailer, please.
It's called PoliceStateFilm.net. Yeah, there it is.
Okay, I'll try to look at that.
Desta D'Souza from 2000 Mules produced that film.
Okay. I'll try to look it up. And thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. And folks, he's telling the truth. The church was left here to be salt and light. No one else is left here to be salt and light. No one. Not the Buddhists, not the Hindus, not the Muslims, not the politicians. The church was left here to be salt and light. If we lose our saltiness, we're thenceforth good for nothing but cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Let's go talk to Mick in New Mexico. Mick, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Butch.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's something. World War I and World War II was about who? It was not about Germany. It was by the Zionists. The same ones who've been sitting want to have this separation of church and state. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I do.
See?
Yes.
And that's what Hitler was trying to fight. But they lied about him. And the 6 million Jews, that didn't happen. That was all a con, James. All thought brought to you by, I said, well, what was his name? Sir Winston Churchill. He was in debt to the Rothschilds. And I'm not sure how much money it was. That's bad enough, that SOB. She's a germ. He's my distant cousin. That's bad enough.
Well, I mean, that's all true, but we got to get back on the topic, though. I mean, do you have anything you want to say to Pastor Otter?
Yeah, we're dealing with. We should have just said, let's go back to Psalms 83. And what is that about? Where Esau wants to get real Israel, replace it.
Okay. All right, what you say is true. I mean, no, we were not the good guys in World War II either. Good call, Mick. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. All right, and let's see. And any more calls online? Let's take a look real quick. Let's go to Gary in Arizona. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Butch and Pastor Arthur. Pastor Arthur, I taught you in the past when you were on Butch's show, and I thank God for you and all the good work that you're doing and your steadfastness. I want to read a bunch, just one verse of scripture here really, really quick. In Corinthians, where it says, and God set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. Okay, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. I want to dwell just for 1 minute on that where it says helps. Now, when you research that out, you know, it says, you know, if you help somebody, you become a partaker of that mission.
That's
so
true.
If people appreciate what you do, just like I tried to do for Butch, too, because we've been together for a long, long time, and we are of the same mind and the same spirit. If people want to help and get involved, you become part of that. You become part of the mission that Pastor Arthur is on right now. And he is God's representative to all of us right now. And he's speaking the truth. Okay, so I usually say this, and I have no problem saying it. The gift of helps, you become a partaker of it. So if you would, at the end of this show, I know that Butch is going to, you know, ask you the same thing that I'm going to say. If you put a couple shekels in an envelope and send that in to Arthur, to Pastor Arthur, I guarantee you God will bless you for that. And you become a part of that. You become a part of it. And, you know, if it's within your abilities to continue to do that once a month, you know he's going to put it to good use. So anyways, God bless you both. I love
you. Thank you very much.
Chris, if you would call Butch's show tomorrow and ask Butch for my phone number, I'd like to talk with you, Chris.
Okay, I won't be on tomorrow night, but okay, when you can, Chris, call about that. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Gary. And brother, before you run out of time here, if you would, is there a number somebody can call to donate? I have your address here, folks. If you want to send cash to him, you send it right to me, and I promise you he'll get it. Now, you're getting our donations, right, brother?
Yes, I want to say thank you so much. I did get it, and always puts a smile on my face that we have brothers and sisters that do care. And the brother is right. I mean, there's a lots of people that see me and see what I do, and they will come and say thank you. But, you know, what we need is a little bit more than a thank you. Like, I appreciate all the thank yous, but thank yous are not going to hire lawyers. Thank yous are not going to go after the villains. Thank yous are not going to build a political powerhouse that will take down those Nazis of today. We need all hands on deck. We need to start mobilizing, organizing, and building entities that are strong, powerful, and professional. So that's what I'm trying to do. And people can go to streetchurch.ca, street like a road, streetchurch.ca, and there are all kinds of ways that people can donate to what we do. We still, Pastor Butch, we still feed thousands of people on the streets of Calgary. We just fed people today. We will feed them again on Friday and on Sunday. Three times a week, we also meet in a building. So the fight continues. On the 21st, we're going to have a huge rally for children against the pedophilia and the grooming. So we are being involved in all kinds of different things. But I want to say to the person that called before that last one about a religion, the first thing that always goes with the totalitarian regimes is the freedom of religion or freedom to worship God. Why? Because totalitarian regimes are godless, evil, wicked, murderous demons, and they hate any man, any woman that worships the living God. Amen. Because Amen. They don't like to be exposed. Christians are good people, and Christians are real Christians. Expose evil, and that's why there is such a huge attack on Amen. Freedom of religion. And historically speaking, freedom of religion always goes first if it comes to tyranny. When the freedom of religion goes, mark my words, that's history, all the other freedoms follow. That's Soon why it's follow. So important to stand up for the freedom of religion, even if you're not religious yourself. Because the Amen. Moment my rights go, yours are next.
I absolutely agree. And, folks, you can call tomorrow, use a debit card, credit card, or call and get my address. And I promise you I will send every penny you give us for Brother Arthur right to him. And I promise I'll do that. I have his address. I'll send it right to him. Brother Arthur, I'll be in touch with you in the future. If I can do anything to be of service to you, please let me know.
Thank you so much. Be blessed and hope to see you soon.
All right, God bless you, friend. Folks, I will see you in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. Give us a call. Love to talk to you. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.